Let's get into something that we do know. Acts chapter 17. And let's begin reading at verse number 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Amen. I'm simply just going to talk to you here for a little while this morning about the unknown God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so grateful for your word. Your word is rich. It's full. It's everything that we need, God, and we need it today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open our understanding, bring divine revelation unto us. God, help us, O Lord Jesus, to get a hold of all that you have, all that you desire for us today. Father, we seek after you. We need you here this morning. Praying, God, that you would touch every heart and every soul. And we will be quick to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. What we've read here today is a common story, known, recorded story from the book of Acts, talking about the unknown God. And so it started off that Paul stood there in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." And in different translations, it comes across in a little different way. it does not show or symbolize that Paul was being rude. But what actually Paul was simply saying was, "I perceive that you are more religiously disposed than others." And these people that were standing there on the midst of Mars Hill there in Athens, the Athenians may have taken this as somewhat of a compliment. And Paul was by no means intending to congratulate the Athenians on their religious devotions. But at this point in time, he did have their attention. And that's what he sought for, was their attention. And then he let them know that he had been observing them and that he had looked about all that they had. And he said that he had observed their devotions to their objects, because he identified, and not all of them, but as a complete, he identified them as the objects, the gods, the images that they had set up there for all of the gods that they worshipped. And then even that there was the unknown God. And he spoke of this, and it carried the devastating description as it was dedicated unto the God of the Athenians, called Agnostus, which just simply means the unknown. And so here are the Athenians, and they knew a little about everything that was knowable. As a matter of fact, they prided themselves in knowing about all things, and not just a little about all things, but as much as possible about all things. And as I was reading this today and began to think about it, there are several that I would venture to say probably fit very well in amongst the Athenians. And I thought about a man that I have worked with for the past 3.5 years by the name of Brother Casey. And he's the type of man that knows a little bit about everything, and some things he thinks that he knows more about it than probably he does. But nevertheless, he's actually a very smart individual. And then I began to think, but you know what? We've got our own right here in little Brother Henry. Amen. And that little guy continues to amaze me with all that he knows and his desire for more wisdom and such. And so this is just for our visual perspective. This is pretty much what we are dealing with in a corporate form. Everybody there knows a lot about all things. That's what they pride themselves in. As a matter of fact, Paul addressed this in a later epistle there in 1 Corinthians when he said that the Jews require a sign, but that the Greeks seek after wisdom. And that's who the Athenians were. They were Greek. And they sought after wisdom. And he said, but we preach Christ crucified. And unto the Jews that is a stumbling block, because it was the wrong sign. For he that was hung upon the cross was accursed. And the Greeks took a look at all of that, and they said that that's foolishness, because it just did not make sense in any form or fashion. And so Athens did know everything, or at least they wanted to know everything about all things, but they did not know by their own admittance, they did not know this God. And so they looked at all the things that happened, and not being able to prescribe certain circumstances and situations to any particular God. For instance, if there was a drought, they might be able to state that the sun god was in full strength. And other things that they would be able to attribute to the moon god, or to all the other gods that they possessed or that they acknowledged. But in their wisdom, they understood that some of the devastating things of life, whether it was private things in their own life or public things that happened on a whole, there was some type of God. There was a spirit. There was some type of corporal spiritual being that existed in the unknown, that was unknown and unknowable, but yet in their wisdom and in their desire to acknowledge all things, they gave him his place by simply putting a sign up in observance to the unknown God. This God was Agnostus. And so we see that Jesus had come to reveal to men the true God. But in this state, Paul had come to Athens to proclaim the true God, the unknown God. And Paul was one that would know God. He was equipped. He was knowledgeable to this God that they did not know. Being born and raised as a Jew, he had known God by means of the scriptures or the inspired word. Ever since that he was a boy, he had known him, this God. And though he may not be able to put a fundamental image of him together, he knew him as Elohim, as Adonai, as Jehovah, as Jehovah Jireh, as Jehovah Nisi, as Jehovah Tsidkenu. Amen. He knew him as the creator, as the sustainer of the universe, as the rock of ages, as the shepherd of the hills, and as the fountain of living water. He knew him as these things. Amen. Not just because that he was taught these things, but because that he had experienced these things as well. And now, as a Christian, he knew him to be the incarnate word, God manifest in the flesh. and Jesus Christ, the Lord. No man in the entire world was better equipped to make known unto these people, the intellectuals, amen, than the unknown God, than Paul was. The image of the unknown God had been neatly bridged, amen, for Paul had been given, had given him the opening that he needed. This bridge that was there, the unknown God, it opened up a door of testimony for Paul to be able to witness unto these people. And so the God that made the world and made all things therein, including as Paul began to speak these things, as he said, the God that made the world and all things therein, he was including all of their gods. Their gods, amen, Paul is going to accentuate, was made by the unknown God. The sun, the moon, the stars, the vast reaches of space, the world in all of its wonders, the surging seas, the hills, the plains, the fields, and all of the forests that they worshiped. Amen. All of these things were made by the omnipotent, the omniscient, the infinite God, a living God, an awesome, magnificent, self-existing, uncreated God. And so in this one sentence, Paul basically banishes all of the gods that the Grecians had worshipped. He abolished them into oblivion. Amen. The things that they had made of images, amen, now became in their minds just a heap of rubbish. And he did all of this without saying, that's a false god. That's a false god. The unknown God created that, and therefore has more power than these things. And so seeing that the Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not, amen, he's talking here, and he said, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Amen. He is speaking these things in the presence of the surrounding things. The Mars Hill, amen, is right there nearby. Parthenon of Minerva, amen, is looking and facing him. One of the wonders of the world. On the rocky edges to the south of the Acropolis were countless idols. This is a place that the Greeks, amen, philosophers, and the ancient wise men, and the creators, the designers, the builders, the architects, the sculptors, even Phidias himself, and a number of others had been employed to adorn the temple that was there. Paul dismisses every bit of this as worthless, amen, as a sanctuary to the true and the faithful God. Amen. He had heard Stephen say in a flashback in his mind, he had heard him say, amen, that the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And all of this is going through Paul's mind as he is beginning to witness unto these people who need to know and to hear about Jesus Christ. And so he has told them it's not the works of man's hands that God wants, but it is the worship of your heart that he desires. And then he states it like this, that unknown God, the unknown God that you cannot put a hand upon, that unknown God that you cannot wrap your mind around, you cannot pull from some sacred your own sacred pages, you cannot define him in your finite ways in your mind that is bound by your intellectualism. He said, this God that you have called agnostus, this God that you have declared to be the unknown God,
him I declare unto you. And then it goes a step further as Paul makes it, amen, known to them. He says it like this, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Can you imagine a people, a man that esteemed themselves, that prided themselves in knowing a little bit or a lot about everything? Can you imagine a people that declared themselves and were declared by others to be some of the wisest men upon the face of the earth, seeking after wisdom and knowledge of all things? Amen. Writing off the other things as foolishness because it doesn't make sense. Having the wisdom to know and to understand that there is something beyond the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's something beyond the grass and the trees and the forest and the animals. And we do not know it, even though we're seeking after it. And here comes a man walking down by the way, looking at all of these idols and these subscriptions that have been given unto the different gods that there. And over here is a place that stands alone, but yet given credence to the unknown God. And Paul, looking at that, may have put his hands in his pockets and kind of stood up on his tippy toes and said, here's a perfect opportunity to witness. And then this, where scholars and philosophers had given themselves to the pages, to the books of the libraries in search of the unknown God, and unable to find him in any type of amoeba, in any type of cell, in any type of existence, they cannot put an image upon him. Paul said, let me tell you about him. And it perks their ears. What is this man? Amen. This man that's not called one of our philosophers, that's not named amongst us. What is this man going to be able to tell us about something that we know nothing about and as wise as we are? But as Paul began to lift his voice and began to talk to them about the unknown God, he gave to them a revelation, a man that was far greater than anything they could have ever found, in that he stated, you've spent hours, he didn't necessarily say this, but this is, amen, the alluded story here. You've spent hours studying, amen, you've searched the books through, you've searched history throughout, you've asked all of your wise men, you've asked all of your counselors, and nobody can identify the unknown God. You know he's there, somehow or another you feel him, somehow or another you acknowledge him, you know that you can't put an image to him, but yet you know he's there. You don't know where he is, but you know he's there. I've come today to tell you that he is not very far from you. I've come today to tell you that all the gods that you've raised up in your life, the unknown God that I declare unto you created them. The God of the Old Testament, when he said, let there be, and it was, that is the God that is there. And Paul didn't say only that if you seek after him happily, you might find him, for he be not very far from you, but he finished it off by saying, him, that unknown God, him, the one that you cannot understand. Paul said, in him we live and we move and we have our being. I'm here today to tell you, New Life Tabernacle, that God's still not very far from us. Happily, if we seek after him, and yesterday, in 20 and 21, in him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. Him I've come to declare unto you. Amen. More than 2,000 years ago, there was a man that was born contrary to the laws of life. The man that was born into poverty and raised in obscurity. He did not travel extensively, and only once did he bypass the boundaries of his country in which he lived. And that was during the exile of childhood. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, influential, and had neither training nor education. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the seas as payments and hushed the tempest to sleep. He healed the multitude without medicine and made no charge for his service. Amen. This man never had a home. Amen. He never went to college. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place that he was born. He never wrote a book. Yet if the libraries contained the amen of the world were put together, they could not hold the books that was written about him. He never wrote a song, yet has provided the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, yet all the academic institutions could not boast of more students. He never practiced medicine, but yet he has healed more broken hearts and more sickened bodies than all the doctors of the world put together. He's never marshaled an army or drafted a soldier or fired a weapon, yet no leader has more volunteers under his orders, made more rebels stack and surrender without a shot being fired. Amen. Every 7 days the wheels of commerce cease and multitude winds wind their way to worship and to pay respect to him. Their names of the past state, proud statesmen of Greece and Rome, have come and gone, but the name of this man abounds more and more. Through time he has spread over 2,000 years between people and their generations, and the scene of his crucifixion, amen, is there. Yet he still lives. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He stands under the highest pinnacle of heavenly honor. He is proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, adorned by the saints, feared by devils, as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the wonderful, glorious news about it all is he is here for us even this day. Amen. This world's answer to their problems is Jesus. The answer to their dilemma is Jesus. The answer to their sickness is Jesus. The answer to their fear is Jesus. Hey, I'm talking to you today. We're living in an Athanasian world.
Hallelujah.
We're living in an Athanasian world. We're living in a world, amen, who knows that there is an answer that is out there, but yet they don't know the answer. Amen. They've given their intellect. They've given their time. They've given their wisdom. Amen. To doctor's reports. They've given all of their time. Amen. To internet stories. They've looked for their answer to and fro. Amen. Close and near. Far and far above. And beyond all the seas. But right here at 1200 Henry, here's the answer. I'm telling you, he's not very far from them. And yet today they sit in their house, afraid, needing an answer, and not knowing it, and they're reaching out to Google to ask, what is the answer? Hey, we're here today to tell you the answer. The answer is still Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen, church. Amen. Do we have any Pauls that are in the church? Amen. Anybody here today that wants to look and to see the signs in all of the yards, up and down State Street, up and down throughout all of this, amen, city, there are signs out in the yard, and they say to the unknown God, there is an answer that is out there, but we don't have the answer. Amen, there is an answer that is out there, but we don't know the answer, but yet we acknowledge there is an answer. New Life Tabernacle needs to show up and say, we've got your answer. It's called Jesus Christ. It's called the Holy Ghost. Amen, it's called a good dose of the Holy Ghost. God will do for you what a vaccination won't do for you. The Holy Ghost is able to cure fear. The Holy Ghost is able to cure doubt. The Holy Ghost is able to put an end to depression. The Holy Ghost, amen, is able to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul, you know the answer. Paul, you've got the answer. Now go tell somebody about him. Hallelujah. I think it'd be good if we just worshiped him right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm almost done here already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me just another few minutes of time, though, because I'm going to tell you what this world's problem is. 12 years of age, mom and dad decided that they wanted to take a trip to Jerusalem, that they wanted to take a trip to the temple, as was the custom of people in that time. And so they get together, the party, the band. And it's not just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, but there is a large number of people that have banded together and are walking the street, walking that road from here to there. And when they get there, they have a wonderful time. They experience the things that they thought they would have experienced, see the people that they thought they would have saw. And there's nothing that is lacking in that trip. And so it's time to go home. And so they gather everybody together. And they begin to make the trip home. I don't know how that it could possibly be. Because I remember my kids being young. And if they ever got out of the sight of mom for just a couple of seconds, she was wondering where they were. But somehow or another, 3 days have passed, and finally mom decides, I haven't seen my son in a while. I wonder where he is. And so Mary and Joseph began to ask, has anybody seen Jesus? And nobody knows where Jesus is. And maybe he's with some other family or some friends or something, and nobody can find him anywhere. Supposing, the Bible says, supposing him to be with them, they continued on, amen, for their journey. And 3 days later, they didn't decide to suppose anymore. We've got to know. They had come to a place in their life that they had to know if Jesus was there. It's no longer good enough to suppose that this is where he is. It's no longer good enough to suppose because that this is where he's supposed to be. And this is where he has been in the past. And he's never left us in the past. Supposing was simply good enough. But today, they've got questions. Today, they need answers. And today, they cannot find the answer. And so, they got to go back to where they last saw him, to where they last experienced him. And so they make their way back to Jerusalem. And so they're looking and searching for him. And they find him where he was supposed to be, in the temple, teaching. What? Giving answers. Making men wise. Amen. Causing men to understand. And these men looked at him and they said, no matter a man has ever taught like this one does. And he's only 12 years of age. He astounded them in his teaching. And here comes Mary and Joseph. Jesus, where have you been? And he simply said, I've been about my father's business. I want you to know he's still about his father's business. That's where you're going to find him. He's still about his father's business. Amen. But I know way too many people that still suppose him to be with them. But somewhere or another, they left the father's business. They stopped doing the father's business. Somewhere or another, they took a wrong turn. Sometime or another, it was good enough to just suppose that he was with them. And at night, they could sing their songs and do their deed, whatever it is, to make themselves feel comfortable and still suppose that Jesus was there. Supposed he's down with a friend. Supposedly he may be with aunts and uncles down the way at another tent somewhere. Supposedly he's somewhere in the vicinity. Supposedly it was the unknown. It was the vastness, but that supposedly began to diminish, began to fall apart. That supposedly began to evaporate, began to wash away, and finally supposedly was not good enough. And that's just as it was in Athens. Amen. They did not understand, and so they put up a sign, amen, for their lack of understanding to the unknown God. And they realize we've hit our limit. We've hit our ceiling. We cannot ever know anything more about him. But Mary and Joseph knew, amen, what was there. And they said, we gotta find him. What is so important about him, Mary? Amen, you understand that one day an angel came and visited me and said this little boy that I was going to have was more than just a child. Amen, that angel told me that we would call his name Jesus. Amen, that angel told me that this was the fulfillment that the prophet said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. You understand that that little boy is not just a little boy. That little boy is God manifest in the flesh. Joseph, why are you so paranoid? Joseph, why are you so uptight about it? Because you don't know some things that I know. I've got an experience with an angel. An angel came and told me, fear not, amen, to take Mary to be your wife, seeing that the Holy Ghost has overshadowed her. Amen, and this is the fulfillment of prophecy. That little boy is not just a little boy. Amen, that little boy, amen, is God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Later on, Jesus is with his disciples. Amen. And everybody besides the disciples, everybody is seeking, who is this man? Who is this man? And Jesus just confronts it. And he said, hey, I want to know, whom do men say that I am the Son of Man? Who do men say that I the Son of Man am? And they said, they're still searching. They're still seeking.
and they, you're unknown to them. Some think that you're Isaiah. Some think that you're Elias. Some may think that you're Jeremiah. Amen. Some other, some prophet, maybe John the Baptist. He said, but who do you say that I am? Do you have any questions? And Peter said, I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. The unknown was revealed unto Peter. The unknown was revealed unto the disciples. The unknown became the known.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh yeah, there was a time when it was unknown, when he stood up on the bow of a boat and he said, peace, be still. And they looked and they marveled what among themselves. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? They still had questions. They did not understand. Amen. But today they got an understanding. Thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm gonna build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's power when you know Jesus Christ. There's power in knowing that he is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Justified in the spirit. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And received up into glory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I'm closing. And so, here's Paul. I'm telling you, it doesn't ever stop. Here's Paul. And he still has all kinds of questions. And he thinks, he does not know, he thinks that he's doing a good deed to the unknown God, putting to death countless people because he doesn't understand the will of God. He doesn't understand the work of God. And he thinks he's doing a good deed. And so he's out there in the process of doing a good deed, going about his business, doing the best that he can. And all of a sudden, a bright light shined down on him. A bright light shined down on him, and he fell to his knees. He was blinded. Which just simply means that he had no understanding in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them, lest they should see this glorious gospel. Nicodemus, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. You're blind to it. And he falls down. And he asks a question that the Athenians would put forth an answer to in the future. But it's the same question. Lord, who are you? The Athenians said, he can't be known. That's the unknown God. And countless millions are still asking that question. Who is he? Who is he? I know there's an answer. And I know that the answer somehow incorporates God. But who is he? And what was the answer? The Lord responded and he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Paul, you're out out there doing all the wrong things because you don't understand the will of God. And you're forcing doors open and you're belligerent. You're doing your own thing. And it's all because you don't have a full understanding. And you think that you're doing, and you are, you're doing the best of your ability. But your desires have come up before me. And so I'm arresting your attention today. And Paul said, all right, who are you? A Jew, knowing all things, but not understanding all things. Jehovah, Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. Paul, you got head knowledge, but you don't know. You don't know. You know that there is a God of the Old Testament. You know that He is Elohim and Adonai. You know that He is El Shaddai. You know that He is. You got knowledge, but you don't know Him. And you're still searching. And you're still seeking. And you're still, I can't find. I'm looking. And I just feel like I'm missing somewhere. You know what? I've got this. And I've got this. And not exactly going together yet. And I just don't understand. And some people say, well, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. No, it's not a mystery. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 20 says, amen, that even the eternal Godhead can be understood. Ephesians chapter number 3 said that the mystery has been revealed. And time and time and time and time again, the mystery has been revealed and been revealed. Peter, I got a revelation. Paul, I got a revelation. Disciples, I got a revelation. Mary, I got a revelation. Joseph, I got a revelation. I got a revelation. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah to the unknown God. Athenians, amen. Who do you say that I am? I don't know. It's the unknown God. And Paul came and said, I'm going to tell you who He is. Amen. He is Lord and Savior. He is Jesus Christ. And He's not very far from you. You've studied and you think you've plateaued out and you think there is nothing greater to learn because He's so far away in a finite or in an infinite world. Amen. It's beyond revelation, beyond human understanding. And Paul said, nope, nope, nope. If you'll seek after Him, you'll feel Him. And you'll find Him. You'll find Him. And that word, feel after Him, simply means to handle Him. John 1 and 1, He said the same thing. And the Word was, He said, in whom we hail. Our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. That's what Paul is saying. You can handle Him. That's what you do when we're seeking after Him. We're reaching up for Him. And He's looking for the worshipers. Paul said He ain't very far away. How many children of God have been at the lowest part on the bottom of the barrel? And said, God, where are You at? And He's not very far away. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Did you have a full understanding when you came to God? No. You were seeking. God, I got to have some answers. God, I need to know. God, what is it? And the Word was simply repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you reached for Him through obedience. And you found Him. You found Him. And today, He's still not very far away. The unknown God. Now, you know Him as we stand here this morning.
You know him. But I'm just telling you today, he's not that far away from you. You may have a prayer, and you may think, God, the answer is so very far away. I've just simply come today, last night when I was praying, amen, I just felt it. I just felt it. He's not very far away. He's not very far away. And the circumstance of the world likes to pile on top of you. Reports and dilemmas and all the other things likes to try to overwhelm you. But God's just saying, I'm still not very far away. He's that close. And then there is the world on the outside that's looking for answers, searching for cures. The answer is Jesus Christ. That's the answer today. Hallelujah. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. I just feel like somebody needs to come. Somebody needs to come, number one, to make your calling and election sure. And somebody here today has been having lots of questions. There's not a clear understanding. There's confusion. It's not going right. I'm encouraging you today to seek after him. Seek after him. Let him renew himself within you. Let him bring fresh touch, fresh anointing, fresh spirit. Let him do that. Let him do it tonight. Come on. Come on. You're here today and you feel like you've hit a plateau. You feel like you've hit a ceiling. This is as far as I can go. This is as far as I get. No, it's not. That's a lie from the devil. It's not. Come on, God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to bring understanding. God wants to reassure you that he's still the comforter. He's still the comforter. He's still the peace that passes understanding. God, I'm in a world of turmoil right now. What do I do? Seek after him. Seek after him. Seek after him. You can find him. He's not very far from you. He's not very far away. Hallelujah.